Bienvenidos a El Colisionador. Este programa radial es un inventario de páginas, portales y aplicaciones donde exploramos el gusto digital y las estéticas de la información. Soy Juan Carlos Arroyo. Este programa es producido por Giovanni Castillo, DJ Cass. Este espacio dedicado al diseño y la tecnología es posible gracias a la frecuencia web www.cdiceradio.gov.co, emisora virtual del Instituto Caro y Cuervo. El 29 de julio de este año se abrió al público en el centro de Berlín una exposición titulada Warschau Rising 1944. Este proyecto recibió el patrocinio de los presidentes de la República de Polonia y la República Federal de Alemania. Hoy reseñaremos para ustedes la página web de la exposición www.warschaurising.eu, el levantamiento de Varsovia.unioneuropea.eu. En el nombre de dominio, es el código de país para esta comunidad política de derecho.
Well over 200,000 people died in the Warsaw Uprising, most of them civilians. A half million others were driven out as refugees. On Hitler's orders, the city that had defied the Nazis was reduced to rubble. The Soviet generals across the river watched.
Nobody had dreamed that the Red Army would be stopped in the suburbs of an Allied capital and would watch that capital being destroyed.
But worse was to come.
Prime Minister Churchill confers with Premier Stalin in Moscow.
Barely 10 days after the underground surrender, Churchill traveled to Moscow to meet with Stalin. He brought along Poland's premier in exile, supposedly to negotiate Poland's post-war boundaries with the Soviets.
surrender. When the Polish premier began to negotiate, as he thought he'd been encouraged to do, Molotov interrupted him and said, "What's all this? Mr. Churchill here settled all these matters at Tehran a year ago. Now what are you wasting our time trying to negotiate some stupid compromise?" And the Polish Prime Minister was absolutely thunderstruck. And he turned to Churchill and said, "Is that true?" And Churchill, according to the minute, hung his head, and after a brief silence said, "Yes, it's true." And that was the time when the Poles realized that they really had been sold down the river.
Days before, in Washington, President Roosevelt, getting ready for an election just weeks away, posed in front of a map of pre-war Poland with Polish-American leaders. The implication? He would be the protector of Poland's pre-war boundaries. Unbeknownst to them, he had already agreed to cede a third of Poland's territory to the Soviets.
Victory in Europe brought wild rejoicing throughout the Allied world as the Big Three announced the downfall of Nazi Germany.
The Allied victory in Europe came in May 1945, in the Pacific a few months later.
It's a great day as a thankful people let loose them.
But Poland remained occupied by Soviet troops, and the underground soldiers who made it to the West were in for a shock. In the victory parades, there was no place for them. The Allies had recognized the Warsaw pro-communist regime installed by Stalin as the official government of Poland.
We fought for 5 years in the underground, but the only ones allowed into the victory parade in London were the Moscow Poles.
I remember I was crying in 1946 in London. Units of Fiji were parading and Poles were not allowed.
So, and we knew that the whole effort, thousands and thousands of people that died in the name of freedom, in vain. You cannot help but feel bitter. So our story was forgotten.
Forgotten for many reasons. For the Western Allies, the story of the underground fighting for Warsaw alone was an embarrassment. For the Soviets, it was inconvenient. In Warsaw, there would be no official monument erected to the underground fighters until 1989. The end of World War II marked the beginning of 44 long years of Soviet repression in Poland. For many of those who survived it, the story of the Warsaw Uprising is one of betrayal, great powers abandoning a staunch ally. Historians, however, disagree about its legacy. Some say Roosevelt and Churchill went as far as they could pressing Stalin, given that they counted on his Red Army to keep doing the lion's share of the fighting and the dying.
If you ask who won the war, if you mean who paid the greatest price in blood and treasure to defeat Nazi Germany, the answer is the Soviet Union.
Others say Roosevelt in particular was short-sighted, that the loss of Warsaw paved the way for the tragedy of the Cold War.
And I don't think Roosevelt went beyond the notion, let's defeat the Nazis, and that's it. To defeat Nazism while, with considerable indifference, handing over half of Europe to Stalin was a major compromise of principle, which proved historically costly.
There are monuments now in Warsaw, as the last generation of those who fought is dying out. To some, the uprising was about courage in the face of terrible odds. To others, it was naive, even folly. But to those who were there, it was simply inevitable.
When you look back on it now, with the advantage of history, was it worth it?
Always. You know, it was, you know, in accordance with Polish history. It was in accordance with Polish attitudes. It was according with Polish soul and heart.
The Warsaw Uprising, though unsuccessful, set a powerful example for future generations. Back in the 1980s, I watched young Poles paint this symbol of the uprising as graffiti during the rise of the Solidarity Trade Union. Their peaceful protest led to the end of communism and a free Polish nation, the one their grandparents fought for back in 1944.
Este proyecto fue presentado por cooperación entre la Fundación Topografía del Terror en Berlín y el Museo del Levantamiento de Varsovia para el 70º aniversario de la insurrección de Varsovia. Estamos contentos de presentar esta importante exposición en un lugar tan especial como el Centro de Documentación de la Topografía del Terror, dijo el director del Museo de Insurrección de Varsovia para el lanzamiento de esta exposición. La exposición fue preparada por el Museo del Levantamiento de Varsovia como una muestra de la historia de Varsovia a partir de 1918. En ese momento, Varsovia era una ciudad vibrante, cuyo desarrollo fue interrumpido por la Segunda Guerra Mundial. Se presta especial atención al fenómeno de los 63 días de combates durante la insurrección de Varsovia y el precio que Varsovia y Polonia pagaron por su amor a la libertad. La historia termina en la ciudad que renace después de años de esclavitud totalitaria. Nos muestra una ciudad más dinámica y desarrollada que escapó a su condena y se convirtió en un líder en esa parte de Europa. La página de internet es un interactivo desarrollado por el estudio digital independiente Bright Media. Esta página es accesible desde dispositivos móviles. Cuenta con 10 capítulos que se recorren con fáciles movimientos del mouse. Todo está pensado. El scroll nos permite avanzar y retroceder en la línea narrativa. Con un clic podemos saltar a otros momentos de la exposición. Los movimientos del puntero sobre la pantalla se traducen en sutiles cambios en el punto de vista de las imágenes. En verdad, se le puede creer al estudio Bright Media cuando afirman de sí mismos que no son ningunos principiantes. Los capítulos de este recorrido son: Varsovia, la capital de Polonia; Invasión de Polonia; La política alemana de terror; Estado clandestino polaco; Batalla por la libertad; República de insurgentes; En las garras de Stalin; Destrucción de la ciudad; A la sombra de Yalta; Fénix desde las cenizas. Cada uno de estos capítulos contiene secciones que dan cuenta de cada estación de la exposición. En verdad, es un abanico muy completo de diversos formatos narrativos para web. Con muchísimos méritos, este sitio web fue declarado sitio del día hoy, 2 de octubre de 2014, en el sitio Favorite Website Awards. Yeah. La experiencia sonora que escuchamos de fondo es un registro directo de navegación en el sitio web, con bandas sonoras de las películas El Alzamiento de Varsovia y Ciudad de Ruinas. A nuestros oyentes les decimos muchas gracias por acompañarnos en esta nueva entrega de El Colisionador. Los esperamos el próximo jueves a la misma hora por CIC Radio. Bounce it.